Well, on Wednesdays, Leith Anderson is one of our regular contributors here to Connecting Faith. Leith is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. For 35 years, he was pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie. He's a speaker and a seminary teacher and the author of one of his latest books he's co-written with Galen Carey called Faith in the Voting Booth, Practical Wisdom for Voting Well. And Leith, I just maybe want to start with that conversation again. We've talked about it for the past several weeks, but you know, just thinking we're in a season, obviously, counting down till Election Day for the president and other leaders. Candidates make a lot of promises to various groups, and it seems like, you know, some of those promises haven't been realized. So should we expect a candidate to keep their word and vote on maybe on a promised result?
Wow, you actually think that there have been promises that haven't been kept. I'm just stunned. I hardly even know what to say next. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a popular notion in our country that political promises often aren't kept. And then the next time that person runs for re-election, they're reminded what they said the last time. You know, I think we should probably quit calling them promises and start calling them preferences, because our government in the United States is a group governance system. So just because someone on a school board or city council or Congress or the White House wants to do something, that doesn't mean that they can do it. They've got to get the support and cooperation of others. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why it's so important that we vote for every office. It's not just the ones at the top of the ballot. It's all of them, because it's what they do together that really matters. And we learn a lot about people from their, I'm not calling them promises, I'm calling them preferences. We learn a lot about their leadership style and their beliefs and the way they're going to tilt and what they're going to do. So just every time they say promise, just switch it over in your mind and say that's their preference.
But there is something to be said, I guess, about a person's integrity. You know, their word is their bond, that sort of thing. How do we evaluate, you know, character still matters, doesn't it?
Character does matter. And the reality is that politicians, those in government, are going to face situations that they can't foresee and we can't foresee. And the classic example was under President George W. Bush with 9/11. Whoever would have guessed that the World Trade Center would be hit by multiple airplanes? And what we want to do is choose leaders on the basis of their past and how they make promises or express preferences, how they are likely to function in situations that we can't predict and that they can't anticipate. That, and that's where it comes back to character and who this person is, and that's the choice that we've got to make.
Well, Leith, we've spent some time here just before our conversation talking prayer, and I'm wondering if our maybe sometimes cynicism over political leaders' preferences or promise-keeping, does that influence how we view God's ability to keep his promises?
Actually, I'm not sure that it does. I think that we can become cynical about politics and government, and the best answer to that is just understand how the system works and watch out for candidates who have bad preferences and make impossible promises. But we need to distinguish that God is different. He is sovereign. He doesn't need anybody else's vote. He's not dependent upon a court system or a Congress or a city council. And you know, I don't actually ever remember talking to someone who distrusted God because of broken political promises. I do, though, have multiple memories of people who have distrusted God because of broken parental promises. So really, parents are more likely to shape our view of God than politicians are. And that's why, as parents, we need to be really careful on the promises that we make to our children, because so many of us learn a notion of who God is from the parents that we have. And, you know, I've counseled many people to say, when you've been disappointed by your parents and your parents have not done what they should have done, understand that God is the perfect parent that you may never have had.
But it certainly is, I mean, there are plenty of reasons, it seems, for us to maybe begin to doubt God, particularly in the areas of prayer. We've prayed about this, not getting an answer, or the answer didn't come in the way that we expected. You know, to keep our faith and to not lose trust, that is the hallmark of, I guess, walking with Christ day by day.
It is, and I know this is going to sound very theological, but when we pray, it should be primarily about what God wants and then how we faithfully serve God, rather than primarily about what we want and how God faithfully serves us. Just a couple of days ago, I was talking to a man from Kenya, and he had a really interesting insight. He said, you know, in America, when you face a crisis, what you think of to do first is to call 911. He said, in Kenya and so many other parts of the world, when we face a crisis, what we think to do first is to pray to God. And what that says is that we have a lot of resources in our country that are absolutely fabulous and wonderful, but we've got to be cautious that we don't trust them and turn second to God. We need to turn first to God and ask Him to use the resources that He's made available for good within our lives.
Leith, I always love connecting with you. Appreciate the opportunity to visit it once again. People can find out more about the great work of the National Association of Evangelicals at NAE.net. And maybe a quick reminder, I know you're partnering with the Expectations Project about encouraging us to get involved in our schools.
Absolutely. You know, there are over 50,000 schools in America that are underperforming, and we have over 400,000 churches. The Expectations Project is a call for churches to adopt schools. Have your church adopt one specific school, pray for that school, and serve them over a long term. It's not just school supplies at the beginning of the school year. It's tutoring, it's mentoring, it's being a big brother or sister, and make a commitment that's long term, and it will be transformative in the school and especially in the lives of the children.
It's the Expectations Project. You can find out more at nae.net.